Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Katie F., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Monday, September 30th, 2024, and today we're reading from the Big Book in the chapter We Agnostics, and we're on page 50, the first paragraph. Instead, we looked at the human defects of these people through one paragraph ending with, "We never gave the spiritual side of life a fair hearing." Comments on that one paragraph. And today's readers are, and thank you for your service for the 12 steps, Jen P. for the 12 traditions, Felicia D. Reading the text are Tamara C. and Penny C. And the backup is Craig F. The newcomer greeter is Susan S.H. And the host of the second hour is Anne Marie M. The reference number for the Sunday special edition yesterday, September 29th, is 21,784. That's 21784. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose: to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Jen P. to read the 12 steps. Star one, Jen.
Hi, Katie. Can I be heard?
Yes, you can.
Hi, this is Jen P., grateful compulsive overeater from New Jersey. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become manageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me do service this month.
Thank you for your service. Okay, I will now ask Felicia D. to read the 12 traditions.
Good morning. This is Felicia D. from Maine, and I am gratefully recovered by the grace of God. Here are the 12 traditions. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise. Lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. And thank you for allowing me to do service. Have a great day.
Thank you, Felicia. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. And today, we resume our study of the Big Book in the chapter We Agnostics, and we are on page 50. The first paragraph, instead, we looked at the human defects of these people through that one paragraph ending with, we never gave the spiritual side of life a fair hearing. Comments on that one paragraph only. And I will ask Tamara C. to begin reading.
Thank you. Good morning. This is Tamara C. I'm grateful to be a recovered compulsive overeater. I live in Missouri. The paragraph says, instead, we looked at the human defects of these people and sometimes used their shortcomings as a basis of wholesale condemnation. We talked of intolerance while we were intolerant ourselves. We missed the reality and the beauty of the forest because we were diverted by the ugliness of some of its trees. We never gave the spiritual side of life a fair hearing. When it says these people, it's referring, I believe, to the previous paragraph that talks about people who are spiritually minded people. And in my efforts to really identify in and say, okay, what does this have to do with me? I looked up a few words just to connect a little better. And wholesale as an adjective can just mean like extensive, done on a large scale. And condemnation is the expression of very strong disapproval, censure, blaming. And so for me, wholesale condemnation would be like my extensive disapproval of a spiritual solution, because spiritually minded people are human like me. I seek perfection. I think that we are supposed to be perfect. And so the behavior of others, like my own behavior, will always disappoint me. And intolerance, one way that I identify with intolerance is around my alcoholic foods. I have this exceptional sensitivity to a substance, but it also means like unwilling to grant equal freedom of expression or to share rights. So where have I been closed-minded? I have been intolerant of the idea that God is personal to me, because if that's true, then God must have it out for me because things aren't going my way. If I'm in a lot of pain, then it almost feels safer to think, well, God is just out there somewhere. Because if God really sees me and sees what's happening to me and is letting it happen, then God must not really care about me. And another thing I've been closed-minded is in the idea that God wants to help me with my eating. Because wouldn't a good, respectable person manage that through self-discipline and strength of character? And same with my character defects. I kind of thought I was supposed to manage those myself. So I was closed-minded to the idea that God wants to help me. God's not just sitting there waiting for me to fix myself. I grew up surrounded by spiritually minded people who were full of shortcomings, as am I, but I thought we weren't supposed to be full of shortcomings. And so, like, without even understanding this truth about myself, I did have this extensive condemnation of a spiritual solution, which involved giving up self-reliance. I really thought that would be a way of weakness, and like I wanted to do God's will, but I wanted to do it. And now I get to see the reality and the beauty of life as it is, people as they are. And I get to see when I give up perfection that it is full of beauty. I pass.
Perfect timing. Thank you for getting us started, Tamara. Okay, although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your shares to every third day in order that others might share their experience. Okay, so who would like to share on the first paragraph on page 50? Press star one.
Jason KP.
Tanya D.
Jason KP, Tanya D. Who else? Star one.
Leia S.
Leia S. Anyone else? We can take a few more in this first group.
Felicia D. in Rhode Island.
Felicia D.
Shelly B. Minnesota.
Shelly B. Okay, well, let's go with this group. Jason KP, Tanya D, Leia S, Felicia D, and Shelly B. Go ahead, please, Jason, followed by Tanya.
Good morning. This is Jason KP, recovered compulsive eater and bulimic from outside of Philadelphia here in Pennsylvania. So it's very easy for me in my skepticism and doubt and atheism to look at people, institutions, and just say, you know, look at them. They're hypocrites. They espouse one thing and they do another thing. Speaking of intolerance, while we were intolerant of ourselves, right? I bristled with antagonism at religious ideas. I questioned, people on religious ideas with a sense of pride and intolerance and a sense of I'm better than you. We miss the reality of the beauty of the forest because of some of the ugliness of some of its trees. We never gave the spiritual side of life a fair hearing. And for me, I was closed off. Bill Wilson talks about laying aside prejudice. I think that's a really interesting kind of vague statement. But when we look at it specifically, for me, I judged, if I see anything in, religion or religious people that I found objectionable, when I highlighted that was a prejudice, and I didn't look at underneath. Is there a spirit? Is there a spirituality within the whole, that's something that could be useful. And also Bill says that these people, you know, people of faith are exhibiting a sense of usefulness and a sense of purpose and have lives of meaning that, you know, and when I look at myself struggling in my disease, you know, for decades, the first, you know, 3.5 decades of my life, did I exhibit a sense of usefulness and hopefulness? No. Was I open to spiritual ideas? Yes, but not really, because I wasn't really willing to go to any length. I was, you know, wanted to speak about, you know, atheism, which later turned to agnosticism, which later turned to, yes, I believe in spirituality, but I want this Santa Claus God. You know, so for me, it took a lot of laying aside prejudice, laying aside these preconceived notions. And thankfully, you know, the food and repeated attempts to get abstinent and repeated failures to get abstinent kind of bludgeoned me into a sense of willingness and openness, which was the beginning of the transformation. So again and again, Bill's asking us in a very simple way. He makes very simple and straightforward arguments. Lay aside prejudice. Don't get hung up on certain concepts, certain things that religious people do. Don't get caught up in our own judgments. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Jason KP from Pennsylvania. Okay, Tanya D, you're up, followed by Leah F.
Hi, this is Tanya D, recovered compulsive overeater from Illinois. And yeah, this paragraph just describes me perfectly when I came in, you know, condemning religious people, thinking I know everything, you know, like a big thing that this chapter did for me was bring me down in size, because I was like, I was walking around just thinking I've got it all figured out. The religious people like are weak and deluded and yeah, look at all they're doing. And you know, the truth is I didn't even know that many religious or spiritual people myself. Like my impressions came from news and history books, and there was walking around like thinking I know everything. So the line, you know, we talked about intolerance while being intolerant ourselves. Like that still hits me hard in general, right? It just reminds me that I need to be focusing on my own stuff and not on what other imperfect human beings are doing. Because even I can, you know, misuse the idea of a higher power. Like I need to be making sure that I'm, you know, praying to be of service and praying to know my higher power's will and the willingness to carry that out, rather than like praying for things to be my way. And I need to remember that I am not, you know, all knowing and all powerful. So yeah, that was a big thing that this paragraph did for me. And I'm really grateful to have had like the open mind to read it that way, because I could have also been like, oh, I'm not intolerant, right? And that's just delusion, right? Because if I'm out there condemning people and not seeing what is possible for me, then I am being intolerant. And the truth is, like what I've learned in this program is that my relationship with my higher power doesn't need to involve any other people, and I don't need to make anybody else's idea of God my idea of God. Like I can try this for myself. I can have a direct line to the God of my understanding, and other people's relationships with their higher power and whether they're, you know, properly applying their spirituality or not, like that is none of my business. And at the same time, I'm really grateful for the examples I saw here of how people were developing a relationship with God, you know, kind of a correct, in my mind, relationship with God, because I also didn't have that in my life and I wasn't even aware. You know, I thought I knew everything, again, because I was reading things in books and watching things on television, but having others be examples is really important, while also not necessarily taking their you know, just taking their word
kind
for it and really experiencing myself. Thank you for letting me share, and with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Tanya. Okay, now we'll have Leah S., and I believe Tanya was from Missouri.
Thank you very much, Katie. Good morning, everyone. My name is Leah S. I'm recovered in Brooklyn and extremely grateful. So I'm going to read the last sentence of the paragraph that we read. We never gave the spiritual side of life a fair hearing. Now, I always used to think that, you know what, if I believe in God, then I'm just going to give in. I'm going to give in. And I'm not going to condemn, like, these people are crazy that are around me, and this one is you know, wronged me, and this one, and I was right, and all these self-righteousness kind of thing that... Everybody, I was the victim. Okay, so I was the victim. But what I didn't understand is that in step three, I am actually taking a God of my own. I'm making it very personal. And that God knows everything about myself and about my feelings and about my intuitions and about all these things that I want to tell you about, you know, when you're telling me to do a fourth step. And all of a sudden, I'm validated. I'm validated. God knows me. And I'm able to speak to another person in program, and I'm known, and I'm being heard about, and now it doesn't concern me so much about the other people's behaviors, and that's what they're saying. Give the spiritual life a fair hearing. Start understanding that there are sick people around. I was a sick person, and I am a sick person because I can't stop myself. I mean, like, whoever heard of putting one mint into your mouth and then just wanting more and more and then gaining like 100 pounds like that from mints? Get out of here. So crazy. But that's what happened, because mints led me to chips, and it led me to who knows whatever else it led me to. And so I just wanted to, you know, sort of clarify for myself. I remember that this was it. I didn't give life a fair hearing. I didn't understand that I don't have to worry about the whole world. I have to worry about Leia. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Leia. Okay. Next, we'll have Felicia D, followed by Shelley B.
Hi, I'm Felicia D from Rhode Island. Excuse me. Thank you for everyone who shared ahead of me and for the opportunity to share. When I read this paragraph, one of the things that sticks out for me is at one point in time, I would listen to some of the things that my sister-in-law said and use that as justification for not to try to connect harder to God, because I felt like and judged that she was extremely self-righteous, and she, you know, would tell everyone how religious she was. And so I was judging her, and I was intolerant of what I perceived to be really negative characteristics, and I was generalizing it to entire populations and completely missing the fact that, as everyone else is saying, like, I was intolerant of her. I was intolerant of her beliefs, and I'm not in charge of her relationship with God. I can barely manage seeking God on my own and not getting away from that. So really, I needed to have the focus on me and in the relationship with God and my understanding. I, for a long time, didn't give the spiritual side of life a fair hearing, even when I thought that I believed in and was relying on God in another program. It was more like compartmentalized, and it was more like having God as like my wingman. And so there'd be self-reliance, and then, oh, things are really bumpy now. I'm hitting some turbulence. I need to go to that God. And then it would smooth out, and I'd slowly start to be more in control. But when it comes to my food, that just doesn't work, and I don't have the ability to do that. And so now I see struggles a little bit differently, and now I see struggles as opportunities. Not that I don't think that God is like, I'm going to give you these really hard things, because I just don't see that as a loving God. But I think that God's like, oh, here's a mess. Let me cry with you, and let me look at, with this mess, what can we make to help refine you and help you grow and become the person that you're meant to be? And so I can have a different perspective now and see everything as an opportunity for some type of spiritual gain with God. With that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Felicia. Okay, now we'll have Shelley B., and then we'll open it up for more shares. And we are on page 50, the first paragraph.
This is Shelley B. from Minnesota. Sorry, I got a frog in my throat. As far as shortcomings, I grew up thinking I was the shortest of them all, so to speak, with my shortcomings, and because of my schizophrenia. You know, it's partly that, slow to understand things, slow to comprehend. And now I just tell people to stop and slow down. All my years, I never realized I could do that. I thought they'd really clobber me, my peers, if I told them to slow down and help me explain things. Although I went through school, I can't talk much longer, I'm sorry. Something's wrong with my throat, but the past year I've been listening to the Holy Spirit, or not listening, but thinking about Him, and trying to go with my spirit, overcome my fears, and realizing that God's children are all just as good as me, if not, you know, I don't have to be afraid of them. I experience a lot of kindness growing up. People were intolerant of me because I hesitated so much. I don't think they liked my paranoia. But actually, the past 4 years have made me kind of come out a lot more with kindness and understanding of myself and others. With that, I'll pass.
Okay, thank you, Shelley. Okay, so if you haven't shared in the last 2 days, if you would like to share on this first paragraph on page 50, instead we looked at the human defects, reading through that one paragraph, please press star one and give me your first name and last initial.
Susie from Nebraska.
Susie, and your initial? I'm sorry, I heard S. Susie, but I didn't get her initial.
S is in Sam.
Okay, thank you. And who else?
Becky K.
Becky K. Who else would like to share on this paragraph? Press star one.
Felicia D. from Maine.
Alicia or Felicia?
Felicia D. from Maine.
Okay.
Carmela.
Anyone else? Carmela G. We'll take a couple more.
Lee H.
Lee H. Okay, well, let's go with this lineup. We have Susie F., Becky K., Felicia D. from Maine, Carmela G., and Lee H. Go ahead, please, Susie.
Good morning. This is Susie S from Nebraska. The sentence that jumped out at me was, we missed the reality of the and beauty of the forest because we were diverted by the ugliness of some of its trees. And this is the way I have been within my own family. I told myself I'm going to withhold my love because I am not getting the validation I deserve from them. I have 6 brothers and 1 sister, and I condemned my older brother for sins against me in childhood, and I was selective of who I would accept and who I would not based on religious or political differences. And today I'm beginning to see the beautiful forest that is my family. I see not the ugliness of myself as well, and I put aside what I thought was the ugliness of each of its trees. Because I no longer view myself as ugliness, I am letting my beauty shine, and I am seeking the beauty in my brothers and sister, and I give gratitude. My family is just a microcosm of the forest that is everything I know or think I know about the world around me, and everything I think I know about the greater world and its peoples and its animals and the earth we live on. And I am being transformed. And I pass. Thank you.
Okay, thank you so much, Susie S. PK, you're up.
Hi, this is Becky. Can I be heard?
Yes.
Thank you for letting me share. I'm Becky K. from Maryland. And while this whole chapter is about being tolerant of different spiritual or religious beliefs, I also look at it to help me learn to be tolerant of others, no matter what their beliefs, whether it's political or even their fashion choices. Obviously, we need to talk about spirituality here in this chapter, but this program helps me live life on life's terms. And the big book tells me that I must be tolerant of others. And this is sort of the first step where it says we were intolerant ourselves and we can't see the beauty through the trees. But I believe earlier we talked about on how it works. I think it was page 67, if I recall. It says, God will show us to take a kindly and tolerant view of each other. Otherwise, we can't be helpful. So if I'm trying to be of service to others and to live life on life's terms, you know, there's many, many things that I need to be. I need to be honest. I need to be open. I need to be willing. And the big book says we have to be tolerant of others. That doesn't necessarily mean we have to agree with others. But later on in the big book, there's a whole chapter on acceptance of others and how we can accept it. It's like today in our nation's capital, it's raining. I don't want it to be rainy. I want it to be sunny, but I have to accept that it's raining and I have to tolerate the rain. Maybe I need an umbrella. Maybe I can stay at home. And I think what this really tells me, this paragraph, is that I can see, as many people shared before us, I can see the beauty of the forest instead of the ugliness of some of the trees. And I just, for some reason, that really spoke to me today. So thank you for letting me share.
Thank you so much. That was Becky K. And now we'll have Felicia D. from Maine.
Good morning. My name is Felicia D. from Maine, and I am so grateful to be on this meeting and to be here today. I just love this paragraph. And, you know, I think about my life before I came into OA. And this, you know, we looked at the human defects of people. Oh, I was a master at looking at other people's defects, you know, using their shortcomings and condemning. I think about that, looking at defects, shortcomings, condemnation. That was all me before program. And I will never forget my sister my beautiful sister, who is my Ebby, her life was transformed. She had a glow in her eyes. She was happy, joyous, free. And I wanted that. She was in OA and she simply invited me to a meeting. And, you know, my life forever changed because of that. And, you know, this sister of mine, she was my older sister. When we were younger, she was the meanest sister. I had four sisters, and her life was completely transformed by God and by program, and I wanted that. And now, as a result of being in this program, laying down my will, my pride, my prejudice, I simply asked her, "What did you do?" She told me, she showed me, she invited me, and I'm so glad. That's, you know, why I'm here today. It was a simple invitation of a life changed and transformed. And I can say now my life has been changed and transformed by the grace and power of God. And I see the reality and beauty in life where I didn't before. And I'm so grateful for this miracle. So keep coming back. It works. And with that, I will pass. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Felicia D. from Maine. Okay, Carmela G., you're up, followed by Lee H.
Thank you so much. Carmela G., gratefully in the process of recovery from New York. This paragraph talked to me this morning because it talked to the person that I was prior to program. I live in the city of New York City, and I'm exposed to various people, and they're very different from the way I was brought up. And I would ride the bus, and I would, in my head, be judging. Oh, look at that. Oh. And it was a recent bus ride that I was on, and there was a homeless person got on, and the smell was awful, and I began the judging. And then the miracle happened. God gave me a thought and said, "Do you think that he really wants to be like that? And that I love him also." And I thought, yes, no matter what we look like, no matter what people, the differences in every single human, that's what makes us unique. And God loves each and every one. So therefore, I am no longer God. You see, that was the mistake. I thought I was God. And I was judging. And no, it's called acceptance. Acceptance for the difference and seeing everyone, because no matter how we are, our higher power loves us perfectly. And that is a gift that no one can touch. And so I'll pass on that one and wish you all a beautiful day.
Thank you, Carmela. Okay, now we have Lee H., and then we'll have time for about four or five more. So get ready.
Thank you so much, Katie. This is Lee H., a recovered compulsive overeater in the state of Tennessee, and I'm so grateful to be here this morning. I've been wanting to share in this chapter, and every time I get ready to share, somebody else, you know, shares something that I really needed to hear. So I'm just going to speak up and just comment on a couple of things. The part about we were diverted by the ugliness of some of its trees instead of the beauty of the forest, that was definitely my attitude. And I know that I got that, you know, from living in kind of a critical household, I learned about intolerance and this thing about using their shortcomings as a basis of wholesale condemnation. And I just look back on how miserable I was when I would just look at somebody, if they didn't look at me right, if they didn't smile at me, I would just completely lose it and go down this spiral of being judgmental of that person. And I am so grateful today that this program, my sponsors, people in this program who speak up, who have been changed by their higher power, who have worked the steps, have laid aside all of their defects as much as, you know, we're constantly doing that. That's the process that I still will go through. But that simple prayer, bless them, change me, has turned my thinking around probably more than anything else. And also with the lay aside prayer, laying aside my prejudice and, you know, asking God for a new perspective. And it's amazing how much my higher power is so much bigger than he used to be. He was so small, and he was kind of, I just put him in a box. And today I'm drawn to him. I have a quiet time in the morning and ask him to be with me the rest of the day. And I see the beauty of the trees now, and I see the beauty in people who are just like me. I was, you know, I'm just one of them too. I'm just a person, just like everybody else. And I've been given, you know, love and grace and mercy in my life from my higher power. And I want to be a channel to give that love and grace and mercy and forgiveness to other people. And it's a much, much happier, you know, productive way to live. So I'll pass with that. Thanks.
Thank you, Lee. Okay, so we're on page 50, the first paragraph. Who would like to share on that? We have time for four more people, three or four.
Darian K.
Darian K.
Jill M., Virginia. Jill M., Virginia.
Okay, I got you, Jill. Okay, I have Darian K., Gracie W., Jill M.
Yvette L.
Anyone else? Who?
Yvette L.
Yvette L. Okay, let's stop there. Okay, go ahead, please. Darian K., followed by Gracie W.
Oh, good morning, Katie. This is Darian K. in the Berkshires in Massachusetts, and I'm gracefully recovered today and woke up willing. Thank you, God. boy, I can relate to this paragraph so much. Funny, I just gave away my fourth step last night to my sponsor, and have done that many times, but this was one of character defects and thinking about the person that I am and the person that I want to be. And then, you know, just thinking about one of the thoughts that came to me is having a vision of goodness, because my vision is not that way usually. you know, I shared on being intolerant, you know, I shared on, someone shared at a meeting, which I so appreciate, they shared a word I've never heard in my life, and the word is pedantic. And I don't know if anyone's heard that one, but pedantic is sort of nitpicky, and you kind of like follow the rules and you kind of get angry or kind of ticked off at people that don't. And that is so me. It's so crazy. And I'm so glad you guys can't see the speech bubbles above my head, because, you know, you'd hate me. I'd have nobody in my life because I can be that way. I can be so judgy and nitpicky about the littlest things. I'm so glad that I get to do these steps to look at myself and to think about what can I do about these things with God's help, of course. Can't do it by myself. I can't wish away my defects of character. I can't pretend that I'm perfect and that I'm above humanity. You know, I am human, I am imperfect, and I have flaws. And, you know, I grew up like, you know, if you look good from the neck up with your lipstick and your makeup and your hair done, you must be, have it all together, you know, and that's not true. So I'm just so grateful I'm learning all these lessons, that I'm clear-headed enough to see the beauty, you know, in the above and beyond and through the trees, you know, that I can actually visualize all of this, you know, and as fall comes here in Western Massachusetts, I am so grateful for another abstinent year and another abstinent fall season, because I can see those beautiful colors in my world, and I would not have that, excuse me, if I didn't have my program in my house. So thank you. I pass.
Thank you, Darian K. from the Berkshires. Gracie W., you're up, followed by Jill M.
Hi, this is Rosie W. In
Rosie,
the UK.
I'm sorry.
No problem. Gratefully recovered compulsive overeater. When I read this paragraph, I'm normally... my interpretation is normally, you know, of the way in which I condemn others and focus on their shortcomings rather than my own. But actually, God gave me a different reading today, which was the intolerance I can have of myself and my progress, the progress that God has given me, and that I can miss the reality and the beauty of the forest, which is my own spiritual progress. I'm somebody who can get very impatient with myself for needing to inventory, you know, an issue again and again. That crazy thinking of why am I here? You know, why haven't I? You know, why is step 6 and 7? I'm not working them hard enough. I'm not working step 10 hard enough, or step 2, or you know, 11 or 12. And you know, this isn't a one and done. Well, I don't know about the rest of you, but I'm hoping to be in 12-step fellowships for the rest of my life, because these resentments and these fears will continue to come up every single day. And if they didn't, then I would just be able to float out of the top of recovery. And I did try that many years ago, and, you know, it didn't work. I can forget the beauty of, you know, just today. I, whilst listening to this meeting, I've been making and then eating my lunch, my abstinent lunch, and there is no chance on earth that I'm going to eat anything after this lunch, and or that I'm, you know, going to drive to the shop and buy a bag of binge food and eat it. I guess I can never know anything, but I'm 99% sure that I'm not going to pick up the food after I finish my lunch today. You know, that in itself is a beautiful forest. I'll take that. But, you know, also, I got up very early this morning because I have young children, and I had my quiet time with God, and there were some beautiful insights. I was present for my children before I took them to school. I was present to my partner, and I remember to thank him for his contribution to our house. I had good boundaries, and rather than saying yes to something that I meant no to, I said no to that thing. I've been kind and helpful and pleasant to people today. I've contributed to all sorts of things. I've got my job done for this morning. You know, I've managed to do some exercise and to do some admin for me and my family. You know, this is all quite mundane stuff, and stuff that I can very, very easily take for granted. But actually, this is a beautiful forest. This is, you know, this is a life I couldn't have dreamed of when I arrived in these rooms nearly 15 years ago. I couldn't have dreamed of just living a morning like a normal human being. And that's what I would like to focus on, actually. That
time, please.
Thank you. That incredible spiritual progress, and not the perfection. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Rosie. Okay, Jill M., you're up, followed by Yvette L. Jill M, star one.
I'm Eater. I thought of this meeting I used to go to, a man would say, you spot it, you got it. You know, so when I start getting judgy of other people, that's a sign to me I need to ask my higher power, what's going on here? Is there something in me that I need to deal with? Because sometimes, you know, everybody's got stuff, and sometimes my stuff rubs against someone else's stuff, and it just gets in the way of me working my program. Because I'll be honest, I'd rather focus on someone else than deal with my own stuff sometimes. And I also, you know, sometimes I've had people say, oh, God's a joke. Why would you, this person did this to me? And I'm just like, well, would you stop shopping at a store if one cashier was rude to you? I don't think so. I think you just find other people. You wouldn't give up on the brand or the purse, you know, the thing you wanted just because one person wasn't with it. But, and also gratitude list has helped me because I struggled with a critical spirit, and having a gratitude list helped me change that. So thanks for listening. Appreciate it.
Okay, thank you, Jill M. Okay, Vet L, you're up. And then we might have a minute or two for someone else.
Well, good morning. My name is Yvette L, and I'm a very grateful recovered compulsive eater, and so glad to hear this paragraph this morning. And someone also just recently shared about kind of what I was seeing in this paragraph is, you know, my own intolerance of myself. You know, that first and foremost, that clouded how I saw everybody else because I was so intolerant and felt so inadequate myself that, you know, I just projected that outwards. And as I've grown in my experience of this power greater than myself in my life, you know, that's shifted, that has transformed. You know, I walked into these rooms, you know, over 30 years ago, feeling like a moral defect. And, you know, one of the major miracles in my life is that because of this relationship with power, I don't feel that way about myself. So I have more tolerance of myself, which then allows me to have more tolerance of others. And I'm so grateful for this connection with power. You know, life's been pretty lifey for me lately. But this power has allowed me day after day to, you know, get up and show up the best that I can, and letting go of, you know, the unrealistic expectations I can have at times as to what showing up actually looks like. And God's grace that I've experienced has truly transformed my life, and I'm so grateful for that. So thanks for letting me share.
Okay, thank you so much. Okay, we have 2 minutes. Who would like to take those 2 minutes? Star one, one more person.
Carol P.
Okay. Okay, go ahead, please, Carol. You have about a minute and a half.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, I've heard some really good things this morning. And I'm seeing this paragraph differently. I think it's Bill's way of saying don't block out the opportunity of a spiritual way of living because some of the people that you think or say they're living a spiritual life aren't living the way you think they should or behaving the way you think they should. Don't let that block you from the possibility of living a spiritual life, because they, you know, the first 100 in this book are talking to the agnostic, those of us who are agnostic, and what might be blocking us from the possibility of the spiritual life. Don't let the prejudice of what you think other people who tout to be spiritual, you don't like the way they live or they behave, so the whole idea doesn't work. I think they're saying, you know, keep an open mind. And yeah, that's what I'm getting from this paragraph, too. I heard a lot of really good things this morning about tolerance and self-acceptance and acceptance of others. And I think Bill's really trying to open our mind to that prejudice we may have against maybe even religion or just a spiritual way of life, because some people, we don't like the way they live. So pass the person, the tree, and look at the whole forest, because there's a possibility the spiritual life does work. So thank you.
Well, thank you so much, Carol, and we will now close our meeting. Thank you to everyone who has shared. Please join us for a second unrecorded hour of study immediately following the closing. And the share ID for today, Monday, September 30th, 7 a.m. meeting is 21,785. That's 21785. And we will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Penny C. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Yes, good morning, Katie. My name is Penny C. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from the Boston area. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who's still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you.